good. I love you too, brother. The only thing that Billy Crystal and I have in common, we're both Jewish. That's about it. And he's not a good preacher. I do appreciate your pastor. And every, you know, he's one of those kind of fellows that when you first meet him, only one or two things can happen. You either love him or you hate him. So I chose to love him. We've been friends ever since. But it is the love of the truth that brings us together. I want to encourage the church to be here every night, every time during this week. These messages are not going to be any good if you don't show up. And so I want to encourage you to come, not because I'm going to be preaching, but I believe God is giving me these messages, and it's a reason behind that. I believe that. I believe that with all my heart. Nothing happens without a purpose. The fact that I'm here today is a reason behind that. And I just want to give you a little bit of, in a nutshell, what's going to be happening, Lord willing, unless the Lord changes my mind. But we're going to talk about today, this morning, about the blood speaks. We're going to talk about the sacrificial death of our Lord Jesus Christ. And you come back tonight, we're going to talk about his suffering. And Monday night, we're going to talk about his divine love. And on Tuesday night, we're going to talk about his divine forgiveness. And Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, we're going to be talking about God's promises. We're going to talk about heaven and hell. You don't want to miss it. You know, you don't. I'm excited about it. And I promise you this. I'm going to make it exciting. Because let me tell you what happened to me several years ago. I was traveling back from work. And listening to the radio about 1:30 in the morning there, brother. 1:30 in the morning. Somebody was preaching at 1:30 in the morning. Can you believe that? And I'm listening to the message, and it changed my life. And he wasn't a Baptist preacher. And the man said, I would that every preacher would listen to their own messages and see if you can keep awake through it. And that absolutely changed the way I saw things. And I thought, if I'm there on that pew, how would I like to be preached to? And that changed me. It really did. It really changed me. And I hope and I pray to God that we can be a blessing to you. Open your Bibles in the book of Genesis, chapter 4. Genesis, chapter 4. And while you are opening there, I just want to thank the church for your confidence, having us come and be with you. We've been real busy this past month. And this is the third conference I'm preaching in the last 30 days. And I enjoyed every bit of it. Now, got a couple of weddings in between. And my youngest son got married. He's 31 years old now. And I told him, I said, you either get married and get out of the house or we are moving. Yeah, yeah, well, one or two things. Yeah, we're moving, you know. And so that's what happened. So I gave him some words of encouragement before they left. You know, I said, and they're both looking at me, and I said, you know, a man doesn't truly know what true happiness is until he gets married. And then it's too late. But they call it. So with those words of encouragement, I send them out, you know, send them out. So anyhow. Genesis chapter 4, the Bible says, and Adam knew his wife, Eve. Let me get the message here. And she conceived and bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she bare again his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. Now I want to stop there for a minute because I want to share something with you. Let's see, it's 20 minutes till 12, and the preacher said I can preach as long as I want to, but we're going to lunch at noon, something like that. I'm going to try to give me 30 minutes, and I'm going to bring this message to you, okay? 30 minutes. The question to ask is, why would Eve say, I have gotten a man from the Lord? And I want to share that with you before we go into the message. Remember when they fell into sin, and God came, and before He kicked them out of the Garden of Eden, He gave a prophecy, Genesis 3:15, that the serpent is going to bite the heel of the woman, but her seed, and by the way, the woman has no seed, that's the man, has the seed, but it was showing that it's going to be a male child, is going to crush the head of the serpent. Bottom line, the only hope that you have now is a child that's going to be born that is going to destroy the works of the devil. So when she conceived and gave birth to this first child, he said, hey, Adam, come here. I have gotten a man from the Lord. Perhaps this is the one that is going to destroy the very thing that is destroying us. Do you understand that now? And ever since then, every woman that had a child that was a boy, a male child, they were excited. That's why the Jewish women were excited to have children. And if they could not have children, they felt that they were cursed by God. Children were a blessing back in those days. And so they were waiting to be the one that will bring forth the Messiah. And they waited for 4,000 years. Now we have the story of two men here, and that is Cain and his brother Abel. Cain was a tiller of the ground. He was a dirt farmer, right? And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstling of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering, he had not respect. And Cain was very angry and his countenance fell. He got depressed. And the Lord said unto Cain, why are you angry and why is your countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. And if thou doest not well, sin lies at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. Let me just share a few things about this meeting between God and Cain, because it's important for us to understand this. Before we go into that, let me just share a few things with you. Everything, when we read the Bible, be careful. Read it, then come back and read it, then come back and read it, then come back and read it again. Because there's a lot of information there. And if we just go one time, we're going to miss the glory of God. We're really going to do it. It says, the Lord says in verse 6, why are you angry? In verse 7 says, if you do well, then shalt thou not be accepted. Now, the question to ask is, here we have a brand new generation of people, right? There was no Bible written. You know, the first five books of the Old Testament, the Torah, Moses wasn't even born yet. The nation of Israel did not exist. It was going to be nearly 2,000 years before anything would happen. And yet God is saying to Cain, if you know how to do good, well, how would I know? The Bible says if somebody doesn't instruct me, right? I mean, how can we know that unless someone tells us about these things? So how would he know how to do well as far as offering things unto the Lord when there is no prophet? There is no preacher. There is no word. How can you know all of those things? Well, listen to this. God said, if you know how to do well, but we do not get the answer to that question until we go to the book of Hebrews. If you go to the book of Hebrews now, And we're going to open up our Bibles there in the book of Hebrews in chapter 10. And let me share something with you there that the Lord reveals to us. And if it wasn't for the book of Hebrews in chapter 10, it would be a little difficult to understand. Let's go to chapter 11 and verse 4. Let's go to chapter 11, verse 4. Listen to this. But by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaks. Right? I said, Brother Roll, that doesn't tell me much yet. Okay? Let's define this, because we got to make sure we understand it. To be able to do something right, somebody has to instruct you. You know, you don't just throw a man on the job and say, do whatever. You know, you can, you know. Hey, there's a car, drive it into a child. They don't know. And so somebody's got to tell us what to do, instruct us what to do. But the Bible says either by faith Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice. So what is faith? It's something that we act upon because we believe. Well, what do you believe? Faith comes by hearing and hearing of the word of God. God instructed them in Genesis. God came to Adam and Eve and said, listen, this is what you're going to have to do. And pass the information to those children, to the fact that God came to Cain and said, you know how to do well. I already told you. Beloved, we got a responsibility. None of us in this room can claim ignorance. Listen, we have the word of God. We have the preacher. We got the prophet. The Bible says, to them hear ye. Why? Because faith comes by hearing. It is so important for us to bring our children to church. They need to hear the gospel. They need to hear the word of God. Faith cannot come unless they hear it. No wonder the Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. No wonder David said, I rejoiced when they told me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Why? My house shall be called a house of prayer. You know what the word prayer means? Thank you, Jesus. No, prayer means communication. We communicate with God and God communicate with His people. You know how to do well. I already told you. But you don't want to do it. See, we want to be blessed doing our own thing. You know, we are a rebellious people. We really are. I mean, I look at my life and I realize, man, God had to intervene because if we would have left it to myself, I'll be burning in hell right now. You know, I mean, I'm glad God intervened in my life, you know. So, here it is. Now, in verse 8, the Bible says, Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose against Abel, his brother, and he slew him. He killed his brother. Listen. Isn't that what happens in the world today? When you don't get your way? This world doesn't get their way. Liberals don't get their way. What do? They kill the righteous. The righteous always dies for the sins of the unrighteous. And instead of him making it right with God, he blamed an individual that was doing the right thing. Instead of saying, okay, Lord, forgive me, let me do this, let me do it right. No, he blamed his brother. If you wouldn't have done that, if you wouldn't have offered anything, then he would have to accept my offering because you're not doing anything. See, you're a problem to me because why in the world you decide to do everything just the way he told us? See? You set up a standard, but if you wouldn't set up that standard, I would have been okay. So he kills his brother. And God said this to Cain, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. First drop of blood that hit that ground. He was crying unto God. The first man to die because of the sin of another man. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this day, Lord. We don't have anything but what you have given us. We pray, Lord, that you may hide us behind the cross of Jesus, amen, that we may see you and you only. For in his name I pray, amen. Abel was the second son. When you read through the Bible, you find out there's a lot of second sons in the Bible. There's it's what we call the law of the second son when you study the Bible. There's Cain and Abel. You know, the firstborn was not the one chosen, but Abel. And because Abel died, Seth came into the picture. He wasn't Esau, but he was Jacob. He wasn't Manasseh, but he was Ephraim. He wasn't Perez, but he was Sarah. He wasn't Adam. It was Jesus, the second Adam. Amen. There's a law of the second son when you read the Bible. See, their occupation is relative to the revelation. God is not a respecter of persons, but the principle of his word. And he told Cain that. You knew what to do good. God is not a respecter of persons, but the principle of his word. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall abide forever. Amen. If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. The Bible says, you're cursed from the earth, which has opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. That earth received your brother's blood. The blood speaks. Now, the picture of that, of this dying name for mankind, the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, the second Adam, the first one failed terribly. For by one sin came then sin into the world, and that sin passed to all men because we're all sinners. But by the righteousness of the other, grace came, right? So Jesus becomes then the element of the second covenant that the Bible talks about. So this then, Jesus then, instead of, you know, usually an individual offers a sacrifice. The high priest would offer the sacrifice. Individuals would come and offer sacrifices unto God. And it could be all the way from a sparrow all the way to a bull. You know, it didn't make no difference. God was not a respecter of persons, so he made it so that the poorest of men could offer a sacrifice to the richest of men. But God counted the same thing was even before him. It was not the actual sacrifice itself, but it was obedience that was God honored. Because the Bible says obedience is better than sacrifice. Amen. Jesus became the high priest and the offerer of the offering when he died. Read the book of Hebrews, it says he became our high priest. So the high priest and the offerer of the offering. He did it all by himself, with himself, and perfected forever those that are sanctified. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10:14. He offered himself by himself. The Bible says, no one takes my life. I personally lay down for you. Only God could be the priest and the offering, for he is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. He was the offerer and the offering. And he became the ultimate sacrifice that the Bible talks in the book of Hebrews. For the blood of bulls and goats and lambs and doves that could never take away our sins. It pacified God as the picture of the perfect sacrifice, and he became the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Because see, this animal's blood could never satisfy the righteousness of the Father. It could never end a problem, and that was the sin problem. All that the blood did, and all the blood that was shed, amount to absolutely nothing. It was nothing but a picture of things to come. But God, with a great love, that where he loved us, the Bible says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. That's what's important. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so whosoever believes in him should not perish, but has everlasting life. Listen, he was born to die. We die because we are born. It is appointed for a man once to die, but Jesus, he was born to die. He came with a purpose to die for you and me. He had the cross on his mind, folks. The Bible says, I came to do thy will, O God. And he was chosen us before the foundation of the world. He already knew man's sin, and he already knew he was going to be the Lamb of God, and he already knew what he had to do. When Jesus went to the cross, he shook all the elements. He tore through the dispensations and reached through the ages and time and eternity. When the fullness of time came, the Bible says God sent His Son. When He went to the cross, He settled forever the sin issue. No longer were our sins covered for one more year. See what the high priest would do? They took a lamb that was 1 year old on Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, which was usually about between the 14th and the 21st of October, depends on the Jewish calendar. And that high priest would get all 11 representatives, the patriarchs of each tribe, in front of him, which were usually the oldest men of the tribe. And the high priest represented the Levitical tribe. And when they cut the throat of this lamb, they collected the blood according to Leviticus chapter 14 in an earthen vessel. That means it was a clay pot, which represented the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then the priest would take that clay pot with the blood, and he would put his finger on it and sprinkle upon each one of the representatives of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel, him being number 12. And then he sprinkled upon himself because he had to have the blood on him before he walked into the Holy of Holies. And then he would walk into the Holy of Holies and sprinkle the blood upon the mercy seat of God, which was on top of the Ark of the Covenant, where the two cherubs were facing down. And at that moment, the Shekinah glory came down and the smoke filled the temple, and God's glory just came in and accepted that sacrifice. And the high priest came out of the Holy of Holies and his face was shining like the sun. And there were men waiting outside to put a veil on him to cover his face because nobody could look on him because he saw the glory of God. And yet, he did not take care of the sin issue. It covered our sins for one more year. The blood of Jesus does not do that. It washes our sins away. There is a big difference between covering and washing it away. It's to be remembered no more. You come on Tuesday, now we're going to talk about forgiveness. And that's when I make a very good time talking about those things. When he went to the cross, he settled forever the sin issue. No longer were our sins covered for one more year, but his blood washed away our sins and sanctified God's elect forevermore. Never to be repeated again. We're accepted in the Beloved, the Bible says. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. The second Adam. The Bible says the first Adam is earthly, the second Adam is heavenly. Where does this incident occur? You know, Jesus died, right? We got a lot of beautiful songs that he left, his throne in glory and ivory palaces and all of these things that we can sing. But literally, he left glory to come into enemy territory. Christ came to enemy's territory. Cain wanted to kill Abel because Abel did God's will. Satan wanted to kill Jesus because he came to do God's will. See? If you don't have this verse written and marked in your Bible, please write this down. 1 Corinthians 2:8. The Bible says, "For have they known it, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory." Satan thought that if he could just kill Jesus, he would stop everything. He did not understand that Jesus came to die. That was the purpose of his existence. And the Bible says if they would have known, they would have never crucified the Lord of glory. They would have stopped him from going to the cross. Because when he went to the cross, he was going to atone for our sins. They would have done anything and everything to keep this man alive. But see, the thing is this. No one can stand God's plan. His will be done. And like Samson, Jesus destroyed more enemies at his death than when he was alive. Jesus came from heaven to the wilderness following the object of his death, and he came without the camp. The Bible said, except the grain of wheat dies, he will not bring forth fruit. He said, I lay down my life. And he said, it is finished. And he gave up the ghost and he died. See, folks listening, a lot of people are preaching today or talking today that Jesus didn't really die. Most are denying even the existence of the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember our books and our children used to see the A.D. and B.C. and A.D. Remember that? Before Christ and after the death of Christ. That's how we measure time in our modern society. They've taken that away from our books now. Our children don't see that. Why? They don't want Jesus to be mentioned. They don't want Christ to be anything, has anything to do with us. But he came and he died, folks. And some people say, did he really die? Yes, he died. He had to die. Folks, listen. He died. The Bible said it is finished. He gave up the ghost. He died until the sun refused to shine. He became dark for 3 hours, the Bible says. He died until the earth began to shake. There was a great earthquake. He died until the veil of the temple ripped in half from top to bottom. He died until the law turned into grace. The Bible says that he took all of the writing that was against us and nailed it to his cross. Law turned into grace. He died until the curse turned into blessings. He died to fulfill the promise that he made to the thief on the cross. Today you're going to be with me in paradise. What a promise. He died until the graves opened. Many saints came to life and walked through the streets of Jerusalem. He died until the centurion said, surely this man was the Son of God. You know what else? He died until all my sins were paid in full. I tell you what, I'm so thankful for that. You know, the Jews are blaming the Romans that they killed Jesus. The Romans, the Catholic Church are blaming the Jews that they killed Jesus. I'm going to tell you something. I killed him. My sins nailed him to that cross, and I am grateful. Because without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. My sins were holding on until he was lifted up. The Bible says, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. If he would not have been lifted up between heaven and earth, none of us would be here today. But Jesus said, if I be lifted up, man, what an amazing thing. I will draw all men. The black man, the red man, the yellow man, whatever. It doesn't matter. God made a way where there was no way and built a bridge where there was no bridge. He reached down. Don't ever forget that. You know, it's good to remind us ourselves from time to time. And I do that from time to time. I just think about the gutter where God found me. Smell the stench where you used to be. And thank God. You're not there anymore. Amen. When the Roman soldier pierced his side with a spear, it was the same as when Cain killed his brother. The Bible says that the earth opened up and received the blood. And let me tell you something about the blood of Jesus. Remember what God told Cain? What have you done? The blood of your brother speaks from the ground. Let me tell you what the Bible says about Jesus' blood. The Bible says, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, unto the blood with sprinkling, that it speaks better things than that of Abel. The first drop of blood that hit the ground of the Lord Jesus Christ, the earth opened up his mouth to receive it for the sins of my people. Yeah. And he's been crying out ever since for every one of God's elect. Hebrews 12:24, by the way. Clay pots were used to collect the blood of the sacrifice. Those are made out of dust. Earth. The Bible says the Lord formed man out of the dust of the ground. He told Adam, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return to the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for thou art, and dust, and to dust thou shalt return. But it was the blood hitting the dust. It was the blood coming on us, brother. It was the blood pouring on me. I'm made out of dust. The dust is cursed, but the blood is not. And the blood hit me. And it changed me. See, the devil did not know what he was doing. He thought if he killed the body, he would destroy the ministry. He did not understand that death was Jesus' ministry. He didn't understand that. See, the sin had to be atoned. It had to be paid for. You know, God had to be satisfied. So many people are preaching today that Jesus had to pay the devil for our souls. That is not in the Bible, beloved. That is a lie from hell. God does not owe the devil anything. Jesus died to sanctify forever his elect. We have been bought from the marketplace of sin. We have been purchased by his precious blood. The blood of Jesus changes the heart, the attitude, the personality, the desires. It heals us, it cleanses us from all of our unrighteousness. The Bible, you know, we always sing this song that says, what can wash away our sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make us whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that washes white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus, because the blood speaks. Listen, you learn to hate what you love when God gets a hold of you. You learn to hate what you love, and you learn to love what you hated. Absolutely. When I see the blood, the Bible says, I'm going to pass over you. If you are a Christian, if you claim to be a Christian, and nothing has changed in your life, double check. You're not saved yet. You're still in your sins, the Bible says. You're still on your way to hell. Because I'm going to tell you something. Our Savior does everything new. He really does. There has to be a change. It really has to be a change. See, the blood of Jesus is powerful enough to destroy all of our sins. It really is. Past, present, and future. He knew exactly what this preacher was going to do before I was even born. He was paying for my sins on that cross 2,000 years before I was going to walk on this world. He knew what I was going to do. You know, the Bible says that, you know, remember about the wheat and the tares? What did the master say? The enemy has done this thing. The enemy came to plant by night. But the blood made a difference. The blood made a difference. See, I am not what I used to be. I'm not yet what I'm going to be. But I'm not what I was. See, we can understand that. I'm not what I'm going to be. Because one day I'm going to be just like Jesus. I'm going to see him as he is. But I'm not there yet. But I can guarantee you I'm not what I was. Something happened. And all because of the blood that speaks on my behalf. Now let's just open our Bibles in Isaiah chapter 53. Let me share this with you before we go. And I'm just going to read just a few verses. I'm not going to read the whole thing. I just a few verses. And this is really I try to read this often to remind me what the Lord has done for me. Okay, in Isaiah 53, in verse 5. The Bible says, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we're healed. Verse 10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. Who did that to him, folks? God the Father subjected God the Son to an unbelievable amount of suffering for you and me. It pleased God to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. What happened when you die? The separation of the soul from the body. Going to make his soul an offering for sin. He's going to die. The Lord bruised him. The Lord brought him grief. And the Lord brought him death. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see seed. I know it says his there, but that's idolized. It's not in the original. He shall see seed. That's you and I. And he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. Amen. Beloved, we're going to walk on the streets of gold one day, not because of that we're so good and special and just sweet and kind, you know. No. Precious unto the Lord is the death of his saints. But don't forget about the word saints. We are sanctified in the blood of Jesus. We cannot be saints unless we've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Remember in the book of Revelations in chapter 7 when this great multitude comes and say, whence they come from? What are they here for? He said, those are those who have washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb. Saints. But it's not that, that's because we're not saints because we're good. We're saints because God has imputed His righteousness on us. And that happened when God bruised him and brought him grief and brought him death. So that when he saw the travail of his soul, God the Father said, I'm satisfied. It's painful. You don't owe me a thing. So we can walk on streets of gold one day. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Remember this word, many. Christ did not die for every man in the world. There's a lot of preachers that are preaching. Everybody's going to heaven. Everybody's going to heaven. Did you know that, brother? I hear it all the time. Let me put a little caveat on that. If everybody's going to heaven, why are we meeting here? Why are we supporting missionaries? Why do we go knocking on doors? Why are we trying to live a godly life? Don't we have better things to do today? It's a beautiful day. We could be fishing or... You right? Why are we going here? Jesus died for everybody. Everybody's going to heaven. We're wasting our time. Because it doesn't matter how you live, what you do, you're going to heaven. He died for everybody. But that's a lie. That's a lie from hell. Because the Bible says, wide is the path of destruction, many walk on it. Narrow is the path of righteousness, few find it. That means that few compared to the many. Well, several years ago, they used to make fun of us, saying, you are one of those, you're probably one of those chosen few, don't you? Well, the older I get, the more I realize how few we really are. And that is not a joke. In fact, it scares me. I don't wish hell on anyone. And when I think about the percentages, what is few compared to many? In a 100% scale, a few may be 4 or 5. Many would be, you know, over 70%, right? That's many. So that scares me. Because I got family members, I got friends, I got people that I know that are on their way to hell and they don't know it, folks. I mean, it's scary to think about that. And I go back to this and I think, this is what the Lord has done for me. He didn't have to stop and save me. He didn't have to come into my life. He could have just let me go in my own life and be destroyed. He don't owe me a thing. There's a young woman that wrote a Christian, we call it Christian song. I don't think it's much Christian on it, but about 10, 12 years ago, and he said, Jesus saved me because he could not stand to live an eternity without me. You probably heard it on the radio. They play it all the time. Brethren, God does not need any one of us to be satisfied. He doesn't need me. But I desperately need Him. By His knowledge, He shall justify many, not all. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide his spoil with the strong, because he has poured out his soul unto death. And he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Beloved, let me tell you something. The blood speaks today. It's speaking today. It's speaking today. He's saying, I shed my blood for you. I gave it all. I left my throne in glory. I suffered unto death. And he didn't even have to do that. He didn't have to do it. Why do we feel like we are really something when we're nothing? We owe Him everything, beloved. I owe my Savior the very breath that I have. Amen. The very words that I can speak. I owe Him everything. Yes. How do you feel today? Huh? I was thinking in that mire clay when He pulled me out and put me on the rock. Those flames were waiting for me. The Bible says the hell enlarged itself to receive you. Man, I can see myself going into it. Yeah. He rescued me. And from time to time, brother, I go like this and I can see the shores of glory. Hey. All because He loved me and He gave Himself for me. The blood speaks on my behalf today, Brother Cox. Praise the Lord.
Jesus, I come. 334. faith.